Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start now. It's about 9:05. So, okay. Debbie? Okay. First, we're going to do is we're going to do roll call. John, do you want to do the roll call, please?
Okay,
well, I just want to know who's here. Well, yeah. First of all, I want to know not. Is Linda Perel in here?
She is not here.
Okay. Does anybody know about Wynn Downing? Is she coming in today?
No, she's here.
No. There's been an update,
yeah,
Kathy.
She's at the convention.
Yeah, they canceled her surgery. No, Ellie waited for her. So she is somewhere around here. So, okay, let's do introductions. You don't have to do it. Okay, let's do introductions, and I'll start. My name is Marlene O'Neill, and I'm the president of BRLC, and we'll go around to my left.
John Ross, treasurer.
Roger Peterson, vice president.
Rob Turner, recording secretary.
Somewhere. I counted 16. Is that right?
I didn't count.
I counted 20. Okay. Yeah. Do that. Okay. Rob, would you please read the minutes, please?
Okay. Braille Revival League of California, membership meeting minutes, fall 2008, Friday, October the 25th. President Marlene O'Neill called the meeting to order at 9:06 a.m. Attendees introduced themselves by name and chapter. There were only 12 present at the start of the meeting, enough to establish a quorum. Marlene announced that corresponding secretary Linda Perel would quietly collect money for the Braille Challenge contest. Winifred reported that there were 65 participants last June and 27 test sites. This is for the Braille Challenge. This is great publicity for Braille. Recording Secretary Rob Turner read the minutes from the spring membership meeting. They were approved as read. Okay. Although Rex Ransom wrote the treasurer's report, he forgot to bring it with him to the convention. Nonetheless, I've included it here for informational purposes. Our beginning balance was $365.64. Total income, $1,176. Total expenses, $451. Ending balance, $1,639.64. I don't quite understand that. We'll have to confirm that. Okay. Rex announced that for personal reasons, he must resign as treasurer. He was complimented for the great job he had done and for all his hard work. Winifred provided an update on the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. She will continue to work with Roger to present a final update for our spring convention meeting. Although Roger felt that they are limited to the changes agreed to last spring, they will do whatever they can to eliminate unnecessary verbiage. Winifred presented the nominating committee report. The slate of officers was Treasurer John Ross, Courting Secretary Rob Turner, Corresponding Secretary Linda Perrell, Board Position 2, Keith Johnson. All nominees were elected by acclamation. Winifred reported that our Braille Challenge donation helped Jordan, a student from Michigan, pay her travel expenses. She is 14 years old and a very good student. The next issue of the Braille Writer newsletter will feature articles on other contest winners. Winifred sent out a Braille list of BRLC officers and board members because it was inadvertently omitted from the Braille Writer newsletter. She furnished this list at her own expense as a donation to our group. A motion to emboss the Braille Writer on 11 by 11.5 inch paper was passed. Mike Keithley agreed to write a Braille profile of Linda Perrell. Next on the agenda was a recommendation to write letters to BANA in support of the Nemeth Uniform Braille System. ACB passed a resolution requesting that BANA examine this system and consider its adoption. This will be considered at BANA's November meeting. Okay. Linda Perrell collected money for BRLC to be donated to the Braille Challenge contest. Roger reported that the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind is donating money toward the contest and providing several volunteers as well. A motion to conduct a raffle for a cash prize was passed. Marlene appointed a raffle committee consisting of John Ross, Winifred Downing, and Sandra Fancher. Rob Turner announced that he was at the convention representing Bookshare and that anyone interested should contact him. Roger reported that Judy Jackson from Texas is the new BRL president. She has lots of ideas to promote Lewis Braille's bicentennial birthday. She is encouraging members to get in touch with local bookstores to arrange for young blind students to participate in children's readings. The National Braille Press is also selling commemorative items at www.lewisbraille.com. Joni Patch reported that the California School for the Blind is celebrating Braille's 200th birthday with a War of the Dots contest. Linda collected $182 toward the Braille Challenge contest. The treasurer recommended that past officers who are no longer active members be removed from our Bank of America account. He suggested that the following officers be authorized to sign checks, and that's John Ross, treasurer, Rex Ransom, immediate past treasurer, Rob Turner, recording secretary, and normally the president would be listed on the account, but she resides in Pennsylvania, which makes it impractical for her to sign checks in a timely manner. The business meeting was adjourned at approximately 10 a.m. The program was a presentation on the benefits of using Braille in the workplace. Panelists included Debbie Berry, Joni Patchy, Dan Kaiser, and Frank Welty. Each explained how they use Braille to perform their various job tasks. The presentation was a testimonial to the flexibility and versatility of Braille. Respectfully submitted, Recording Secretary Rob Turner.
There was a motion.
Oh, I have a friend amendment.
Sure.
It's the Friday, October 24th, not the 25th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It would be a, yeah.
Yeah, that has to be a correction.
I just thought it might have been a typo.
Let me.
No, because Saturday was the 25th.
Right. Well, I mean, let's see if written.
Yeah, okay, I'll make it.
Actually, on Thursday night, I didn't catch this, but he wrote the 23rd on the board minutes, too.
It was the 23rd on
Thursday. Oh, that's right. Well, I'm really... Okay, yeah.
No, I have the 20... Did I...
You said 25th.
I did. Okay, I do have 24th. I'm sorry.
Okay. So it was a...
Yeah.
Right. So you just had a typo, but a redo.
Yeah. Sorry
about that.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Kathy made a motion that the minutes be approved as read, and Debbie seconded. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it took, well, it was a yeah, it was a misread.
It was a redo.
He just wanted to see if we were paying.
It was misread. It was misread.
Yeah, he just wanted to make sure we were all able to get
that. What?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All in favor of...
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, that was carried. Okay, John, would you like to read the treasurer's report, please?
Okay. Previously, we had a balance of $27.58.65. Expenditures as of the first of the year were dues of $430 to VRL and $50 in dues to CCB, leaving us with a total balance of $2,308.65.
Okay, Kathy made a motion that the report, treasurer's report, be accepted as read. And who seconded it? Jill O'Connell. Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, carried. Is Wynn Downing here yet?
Yes.
Well, Linda, get up here.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Look important.
Wynn, we're glad you're here.
Yay!
We would have had a red carpet here, but I didn't know when you were coming.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Okay. The first matter of business, I want to get some of the short things out of the way, and then we can have some more time to spend on the things we need to spend time on. Roger and Wynn, would you please, if there is an update on the Constitution and Bylaws Committee? I know that's rather short, so. Roger, you said last night?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Yes, we hope we can do that in a timely manner. In the Constitution, I read that Braille Constitution, and it was very well done. No. It's kind of hard when you read that, then you'll realize, gee, I don't know if we can take any much more out of the BRLC Constitution.
Yeah, I had something to do with the changes that occurred in the national constitution too, so that was part of what I was up to. And it did get published and circulated to everybody. So I hope you all got it. It came out to the BRL, to the Braille memorandum, the BRL memorandum list.
Yes, and it was inside. Yes, and it was great. It was right inside the memorandum. So it was a very well done document. It really was, Roger. It ought to be commended. Although it's hard to commend you for anything, but I'm only teasing, Robert. Wynn, would you like to talk about the Braille writer? And you can just stay right there. You don't, just show.
I think the large paper is fine.
Okay. Are we going to do another profile? Does someone want to volunteer to be a profiled and then someone could profile you? Yes.
If it's still up,
Okay. May I? Okay. Apparently, there was.
Mike didn't realize or something or slipped up about that he was supposed to do that. He'll still do it if you want him to.
So, Linda, would you mind being profiled again?
Which is your better side?
Not again, but, you know,
Is this racial profiling?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. I volunteered to be profiled, so that's fine.
So he's going to be a profiler, so he's going to profile you, like, well, she's 4 foot, you know, she's could be
that's it.
Mentally
that could be dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. Who's speaking?
Hey, Jill.
Well, yes, she really was. And so thanks for remembering that, Jill. And Kathy, thank you for the acknowledgement.
I just wanted to say real quick, I like what Jill said about how popular she was among her students. Because that OCD, if you needed her, she was there. She was always listening.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that I was able to tell her that while she was still alive.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Debbie. Now, I slipped up here. John Ross will be going around the room quietly collecting money for the Braille Challenge. The money that we collect goes to transportation for someone to go to Los Angeles in June to enter contests, in the Braille Challenge. And these kids are really, really talented.
Have one I was using from last night. I hear that you have it.
He'll take yours.
I walk around.
Yeah, he'll walk around. And then I'll leave some time at the end of the meeting to, so John can have a final count, total. Also, the board recommended that we ask people at the Kahlua BRLC luncheon if they would also be willing to collect or donate.
We'll even take money from people who aren't members.
Yeah, and we'll take money if you guys donated last night. Heck, if you want to donate again, that's all right. But no. And John said that he'll come in at the end of around 12:45. He has a prior commitment with another couple of people for lunch for something else having to do with CCB.
That's if we let him go.
I'm sorry, Kathy? Yes, he is. But he won't be until about 12:45, but I told him that if there's someone speaking, if there's a speaker there, just go around and tap somebody on the shoulder and see if they've collected, see if they've donated, and if they haven't, see if they want to donate. So that's how we're going to do it. Yes? You mean at the luncheon? Yes. Maybe when you can do that? Okay. I haven't gotten a hold of Jerry Arakawa yet, but I'm sure he will. Wouldn't mind, I hope. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
While we're just apropos of the collection and so forth, I just wanted to say that, as the minutes indicated, we did have the regional one in Northern California, and it was at Stanford. It sponsored the lead was taken this year by the Vista Center for the Blind in Palo Alto, and our Silicon Valley Council of the Blind participated in a fairly major way. Several members were there as scorers and as proctors and as just people to talk to the parents who were there and so forth. And our delegate, who I would encourage you all to meet if you haven't met her, our Silicon Valley Council of the Blind delegate at this convention is Susan Schulter, who is a teacher at a community college. And she's also a Girl Scout leader, and she brought a dozen of her Girl Scouts, and they served as guides for the kids. And it was very, very well, very well done. I know Mike Keithley was there, and we also had a Silicon Valley had a table there with our literature and stuff.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Roger. Okay. The next item is Roger, you did report this last night, because Banna, we wanted to let Banna know, we wanted them to look at the nubs, and
I guess Wynn may know more about that than I do, but I just got an email recently saying that Banna is going to look at the Nemeth universal braille system, unified braille system.
Yes, go ahead, Wes. We're talking about it now. Thank you.
That was an excellent article, by the way, Winifred.
It was very
really
good.
Well,
oh, yes. It really was.
We might also mention that, as I think I did last night, that at the CTEVH convention there was a BANA meeting as well, and they gave their first annual Braille Excellence Award to Abraham Nemeth. And I am told that he was actually there at age 90. At 90. Right.
Thank you. And I want to say that...
I thought it was for his jokes.
Yeah. He's very humorous. I like...
And his piano playing.
I want to say that, too, when you've always done a great job for the Braille Writer, but this was one of the best issues I have ever read. And it was wonderful. It's funny because I'm a good Braille reader, but you know, I just skimmed over it because I'm a fast Braille reader, so I didn't even notice. That's how observant I am. But I just thought you did a wonderful bang up job on that whole issue. They're all good, but that was wonderful. Okay. There's only one more thing I want to mention before I bring up the matter of fundraising.
It's time to leave.
In October, as you all know, we're going to have the CCB meeting in Chicago. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking because I had to stop in Chicago when I came here. No, we're not having it in Chicago. We're celebrating our 75th year of CCB's existence, and we're going to have it in Fresno. So if anybody has Albert, I'm going to be haunting him by email. And if anybody knows of anybody in Fresno or that area to be a speaker at our BRLC meeting at 10 o'clock, I would really appreciate knowing if you have anybody so I can take it, you know, and make the arrangements
topic,
for that.
The topic that was suggested was, is there Braille in Fresno?
And yes. And I think that's a great topic. And if yeah, and I will, you know, ask if that's okay, because everybody knows Fresno, but they don't know, you know, Fresno? Where is that, you know? So as a joke, as a light, you know, lighthearted tease, I'm going to see if that's okay if we say that, because that's a great... Roger thought of that, of course. Why am I not surprised of the topic name? And so if anybody knows of anything, and maybe we can get a hold of Mary Beth and so... Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yes? Oh. Okay, that's good.
I wonder if they have an Armenian Braille collection.
Armenian Braille Club. Okay, thank you. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Connie, yes. Okay.
Now we know her.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can we have some order here? And I can't hear you. Your name is what?
Well, you still are anyway.
What is your name now? Pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to, you know. I do too. That's the powers that be kind of did that, right? Okay. No, that's fine. It's kind of hard when you have a new name and all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, when you have a street address or the street that you know for years and then they change it. So it's kind of hard. Right. Okay. Here we're going to talk about fundraising. Our BRLC treasury is dwindling fast. And, you know, our Braille writer is, we want that still. And so, you know, it's very important that we get that out because people love to hear what's going on. And you know, as we all know, but what Wynn did in the last issue, write different articles and different, you know, and what's going on around about Braille. So we really want to continue that BRL newsletter, BRLC newsletter, the Braille writer. So we need to talk about fundraising. I know people might not want to do that, but we need to talk about it. Wynn has an idea for raffle tickets. And so I just would like her to talk about that first, and then if there's any discussion or any other ideas, we're willing to, we need to have people's feedback.
We didn't have a raffle committee meeting because Sandy and I are in San Francisco, and John is in Bakersfield, and we couldn't do that. So I wrote to them with this idea of mine and asked them if we could represent this as the committee report, and they agreed. So. Anyway, the San Francisco chapter gets a type of wrapper book that I call funky. They really are funky. People say, when we go to sell them tickets, oh my gosh, is this a raffle book? And we say, yeah, that's a raffle book. We make them on from a computer. Peter Cardini has drawn up a way to make them out of ordinary typing paper. It does require, after he sets it up, that these be cut and stapled. So in our chapter, we have people that help do that. I don't know if John would be able to find such people to help him. He could hardly do it all himself because it would be a great task. But they're very cheap. All it costs is the typing paper. The kind of raffle tickets that CCB sends out, I think, must cost an awful lot of money because they're done in real heavy cardboard. You know, that stuff is so expensive. Anyway, we do publish on the stapled side the prizes, and we don't have the perforation, but people can see, or a blind person can anticipate that about half of that page is the prizes, and they can tear them off and still, you know, wind up with stubs to send in. In our chapter, we're very fortunate. We have people who will contribute the money to make up the prizes, so that we have seven people who each agreed to give $50, and therefore we have 300 prize, a 200 prize, and I think it's two $50 prizes. So I don't think we're going to be that fortunate in the BLC, so that we have to take some of the money for the prizes from what we collect. I do think the prize should be money. If you're going to sell a thing to sighted people, they're not really interested in buying a language dictionary, you know, a talking dictionary. But they will buy if they have a chance at $100. So you can make your prizes whatever you think we could afford to take from our winnings. I propose that 10 of these books be sent to every member of the Braille Revival League that is registered with us. But before that is done, I think that we should have several monitors. Now, if we have about 40 people, we could have five monitors who would each agree to call the group of people assigned to them before the books are sent out, tell them what is being sent and what the prizes are, and acquaint them with the whole problem, and ask them to try to sell $50 worth before the next BRLC convention. And if they want more raffle books, of course, John will send them to them. And then in about 2 months, those people have to call these five people again, that we'll call their group, and say, how's it going? You know, make a few suggestions. Now, a lot of people will say in their mind, I'm going to send $50. And if they say that in their mind, they can think each week, I'll put away a five. And they couldn't say, I can do it right now for $50, because people are having a hard time now. And I don't think that it would work if we didn't recommend something that's workable. But if we could get $50 from each of 40 people, we'd be okay. If we could get that collected, and we could still take out of that some money for prizes, then we'd still be okay. So it depends on getting five monitors before we leave here today who will agree to do the phoning. And I don't mind being the one that, you know, tears up the list and gives the five names to each people.
You're the trunk of the tree.
Pardon me?
You're the trunk of the tree.
Yeah, well, I'll be the trunk. And then I don't mind in 2 months calling them in and reminding them to call their groups. So that's...
Twigs.
Yes.
That's the branches.
Yeah, the branches. Don Wilcox always calls us and says, I'm calling you twigs.
Oh, that's great, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Could I ask a question, Winifred?
Yes.
I think the assumption here is that every member of BRLC will get 10 books, no questions asked, and then it'll be their responsibility to sell them and to be monitored. People can't opt out at that level. Is that correct?
I think we should regard it as one of the things that they, as members, are willing to do to keep the organization going. But as you say, we're losing money all the time.
Wait, what did you say?
What did you ask?
10 books per person.
50 10 books per person.
Yeah.
5 tickets in each book.
5 tickets.
Yes, I didn't say that. And also, if one person buys the book, then we give that person $6. We get have an extra dollar ticket that we take out of another book so that they get $6 worth of tickets.
No, that's too complicated.
Let's just keep it at 5? Okay.
Yeah.
I would rather do that, too, but... Okay. Yeah, but the raffle books are so lightweight that, you know, I think for, 10 of them in an envelope you'd have to take to the post office, but it wouldn't be a lot of money. And if the people who... I'm not going to go into that. I'll save that for another day.
Winifred?
Yes.
Another suggestion would be for people writing their information on it. Could we just use name and phone number? Is address somewhat superfluous on such small tickets?
I would think so. I never put anything but my phone number on most raffle books. And even your, you know, even, well, they'd have to put their names because you'd be selling to people if they know that might be your cousin who lives in such and such.
Yeah, you need the name.
So anyway, I think somebody should move on whether you want to do this and you think it over. And maybe you need to think it over the rest of this meeting and do the motion at the end of it. I don't, whatever you think.
Okay. Discussion. Shouldn't we have the 5 monitors identified before we really lock in?
That's right. I have only Kathy.
I'll volunteer.
I volunteer.
Now, let's see. That's Debbie Berry and
Rob.
So we need only 2 more.
I can get called.
Who is that now?
That's still Rob.
That's still Rob. Okay. I thought it was, but I thought maybe we were lucky in getting a 4th and a 5th. Pardon me?
We
don't have much more than 5 here.
Well, most everybody's shy compared to you, Kathy.
Yeah, really. Very high bar.
So we have Kathy, Rob, and Debbie.
I'll do it.
You are?
Marlene.
Marlene, of course. Marlene. I didn't hear what she said.
Katrina.
Katrina.
Katrina
McCurdy.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, the fudge girl.
The fudge lady.
All she has to tell him over the phone is she'll send him a square of that fudge and they'll give in immediately.
I need to ask a question now. When we get these raffle books, they tear off,
the stapled end of the book is what you keep.
So the
stapled half. Like if you have it selling to a blind person and say, where am I going to tear off? Just fold the page in half. Yeah, that's right. You can. But I think. Well, that would be great, but you know, computers don't make it that way. And to make this number of books, you really have to do them on a computer.
Well, I think we can purchase tickets.
Well, somebody was saying last night that there are blank raffle things that are ready to be printed on a computer.
Yes, Office Max sells blank printable tickets, and they're lightweight and they're perforated. And for a package, I think we get how many sheets of 8.5 by 11, 8 tickets per sheet, and I believe you get 200 tickets for around $25.
We need 500 space and an extra bunch for people who want to be more aggressive.
Okay. Well.
Somebody can do the math.
Okay. $75
worth of tickets.
So then that's a little more expensive.
That's three.
Yeah.
It's one and a half people.
Yep.
Hey, then,
not so bad.
We can use the cheap way or spend a little more and have the.
Actually, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we should do it.
I don't know if it will be a VIP there. I think it's a parent's property and it's parent's property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I know.
Yes?
How easy is it? Have you had a lot? You've been using these funky robots for how many years?
Four. We're in our fourth year.
And there's been no trouble?
No, we haven't had any trouble, but of course every chapter member knows that he or she is going to get them and can ask all the questions they want to. The phone, the person you're working with on the phone won't be somebody who was here to discuss it, you know. So the people in our chapter that take books are better informed.
Oh, but you're saying that this person produced a phone that didn't happen, sir?
Yeah, if you visualize it, this thing lying in front of you with a staple at one end, and maybe it's 4 inches across, mm-hmm. but you would just, if it was a blind person selling, you would fold the page in half and tear it on the fold, and figure that the phone number and the name are going to be closer to the staple, and you have to ask them to put it close to the staple.
And that's the part you send in.
Before we vote on this, we need to find out, are we going to go with the Peter's way, or are we going to do what John told us about?
I hope we can do the 75 because it will save John so much work.
I was wondering, it's $75, you said?
Yes.
For what John was mentioning. When I will talk to you, but I'm willing to donate it to $75.
Oh,
well, no, I just, no. What I wanted to do was just to get all our ducks in a row and to, you know, get all the get the monitors and everything. So there's a motion on the floor that we go ahead and do the raffle. I'm not going to repeat all the...
No.
Yes?
So the ticket books could be $5 for... $1 for each ticket, 5 tickets in the book.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes. Okay. There'll be 10 books and $5 in each book. Okay. Yes. Yes, we'll have the perforated edges.
And did we decide on the prize amount?
When was... Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a motion on the floor. I think Kathy made a motion. Who? Anybody second it?
Yeah, I did.
Connie seconded it. Okay, all in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions.
I didn't bring my slate up to this desk. I know it's Kathy, Marlene, Rob, and Debbie. Who's the fifth one?
Katrina.
Oh, Katrina, okay.
Just remember the fudge.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget?
Okay, now, what was the... Thanks. What was the next thing we... Oh,
what
prize money do we want to do? Now, Wynn was saying 100 for the first, 50 for the second, and 50 for the third. Does anybody have...
I think that's good.
I think
that sounds good.
How much you can get.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to settle on an amount first because we are not going to be all getting together, you know.
You have to print it on the ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
You can't wait to find out how much you can.
No.
Because we have to know how much you can.
Yes, and we need enough to, you know, make
a motion that we have three prizes, the first the $100 prize and the next two $50 prizes.
Okay, Steve's Rob made a motion, Steve and Kathy seconded it. Really? We didn't know that. Wow. No. All in favor? Opposed? Okay.
Mike, the motion, you need to repeat the motion.
Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Well, I'm not on the mic.
You want me to repeat?
No, got it. Okay.
Yeah, just for Mike's information, the motion was passed that the first prize be $100 and the second and third prizes be $50 each.
And also, people may contribute toward the prize money during these months.
Yeah,
you know,
they can do that. So,
In fact, you know, if anybody wants to contribute toward the prize money, that's $200 altogether, you know. Okay, is there any other discussion on this one? Okay, there's something I forgot to mention. Our funds are dwindling, so I'm going to be the delegate, and I'm going to the convention. There usually is a donation. Is there going to be a problem with that? I'm thinking of donation. A stipend for the delegate. Last year it was, I believe it was $300.
Remind us what's
going to be.
Right now we have $2,308.65.
I make a motion that we give Marlene $300.
Second.
Okay. Okay. How about 308.65, and then it could be a round number. No, I'm like, okay. Wynn made a motion that the delegate gets would have a stipend of $300 to go to the ACB convention in Fresno.
Second.
No, in Orlando.
I mean, oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I'm for Chicago. You want to fire me as president? Go ahead.
Second.
Okay. I do. Okay. Go to the ACB convention in Orlando, and I think that's in Florida. Okay. Who made the motion?
I made.
Okay.
Second.
And okay. Wynn made the motion, and John Ross seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, is there any other business before I ask John to announce the total for this time for the raffle? I mean, Braille challenge? Yes.
Yes, I'll follow
them
with the numbers.
Crack the whip.
In Braille.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah, she said she'll send it to you in Braille. Oh, there's another one question I want to talk about, and it's really brief. How does everybody feel about the Braille writer? People are getting it in email, and some are getting it in Braille. Does that work well for people, or do some people want to have an email or Braille or what?
I'm the same, Rob Turner.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody should be writing these down.
I need the microphone for a second. You know, we still have to have, I think officers really need to have a Braille copy. Like Rob needs to read the minutes when he comes, unless you have a way to print them from your...
I do.
Oh, okay.
I didn't in the past, but I do now.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just think that, you know, somebody's got kind of his stuff. Oh, you didn't?
I didn't either.
We sent it. I think we sent it. I'll look and see.
Yeah, hold on. Kathy, which has been recognized.
Well, I just want to say that first of all, we have an email, great, and wonderful. If I can't have the grill, I can't even have it.
Okay. Well, you're right. No, I'm not pushing. I'm not pushing anything. I just want to give people a choice. And
well, listen, but listen, you can get a lot of people do their email in Braille. That doesn't. That's not anti-Braille.
Not at all.
No.
We've got refreshable Braille displays.
And note-takers.
Braille does not mean Braille on paper only.
Yes, exactly.
Then, all right, I'll tell you what. If you guys, all I said was, because people work, we were all concerned about it. I happen to like Braille also. But I also like, I get both, I like both because I keep it in my email in case something happens to my Braille copy. So all I'm saying is I was just letting people know that email is available, but if you want Braille, that's fine too. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
So Margaret Baker has both on email, but you can tell
yes.
Why don't we just, can the dues are available and people fill that out and have it on the table?
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
And everybody does it,
then
it's all
good.
Right.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, yes?
It comes out again in August. August 1st is the deadline.
Yeah. And some people have that's what the monitors do. They'll call and so, and when's gonna get? You're gonna get a hold of the monitors and okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yes, Linda, are you on the president's list?
Yes.
Of CCB.
Yep.
Would you be willing to send something out on the president's list? Would that work or no?
Yeah, I can send it out on the list. I can also do it on the phone call.
Well, I'm sorry, Rob. Did I do something? Yeah, that's corresponding.
I was going to say, it's corresponding. That's
correspondence. It's a correspondence.
It's a correspondence, so that's why I
said. You're giving me some work.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and maybe the CCBL list too, because there are probably some people that are there aren't on the president's list. So that would, you know, maybe you could do that too, Linda.
I'll write it up and send it to Wynn to put on CCBL because I refuse to join because I don't want to be buried in email.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Madam President, what if we had it listed on the California connection each week? Okay.
The problem is that's kind of short term. I mean, we could
put it in for a couple of weeks, I think.
I think you can put it in for like three or four.
Twice.
Okay.
Maybe we could put it in once a month in August and September, and just sort of prime the pump that way.
Or maybe an article in the next Buying Californian.
Yeah, Wynn was going to do that, and Linda, would you or someone be willing to do the Braille connection?
I can do that.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Yeah. Okay, is there anything else we need to talk about before John gives us the figure? Okay.
On our list.
Then you'll call them and...
She's going to... Wendy's going to get a hold of all the monitors, and she's going to let us know how, you know, about sending them to the members who will be selling the tickets, and then she'll let us know to whom to send back the money.
It'll all get worked out.
It'll get worked out.
Question, will we be able to send those tickets out free matter? I mean, this is going to cost some money, isn't it, to do a mailing?
The tickets won't be that much for money at all. I think you could just probably stick it in a regular envelope.
Yeah.
And don't forget that the stamps are going up in May, so.
Considered advertising.
Buy some forever stamps, so that way you don't have to worry about. I think they're going up to 44 cents. I think. Okay. If there isn't any more business, John, would you tell us the order? I mean, the total.
Okay, for the total as of now, we have collected for the Braille Challenge $225.60.
Yeah, immediately came, Roger.
Okay.
I thought I was cheap.
Well, thank you. Well, anyway, okay. What? Okay. So, there's no more discussion about anything. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Let Mike talk.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
No.
It's okay, John. It's all right. Okay. To adjourn this part of the business meeting. Who made a motion? Okay, Wynn made the motion. Anybody second it?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Okay, the next part, we're going to go right into it because it's 10 after 10 almost. Okay. The next part of our meeting, our meeting is that we always have a speaker to talk to us. And Roger and I were working on this together, and he came up with someone who we all know and love. He's very active in CCB, and he's a BRLC member. So Roger has asked Mike Keithley to speak to us, and he's going to talk about Braille and the deaf blind. So, without further ado, I'd like to.
Let me just by way of introduction say, Mike, can you work your way up here? By way of introduction, I want to tell you guys, if you don't know Mike, he's the editor of the Blind Californian. You know that. He's the president of our chapter, Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. And he is an Overbrook graduate, and he is blind and hearing impaired and has a cochlear implant. And he's been, involved in, I know he's on the SASE list with ACB and so forth, and I just thought it would be a good idea, and he's also very techie. And I thought it would be a good idea for Mike to give us some of the thoughts on Braille and deaf blindness, because I think that as we push for Braille access, both technology and paper Braille and so forth, the deaf blind folks are going to be our allies, I think. They really want Braille access. So I'm glad to have Mike talk to us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk here. It is true that the deafblind population needs Braille badly, because it's probably about the only really effective media of communication in the deafblind community. The people who are deaf, that is the sighted people, they communicate with amongst themselves and use interpreters pretty easily. to talk to the hearing world. But if you take away vision, you're left with a situation that's pretty isolated, because the deafblind people presumably can talk amongst themselves, but the action of getting an interpreter to talk to the hearing world is much harder to do. And so if you want to use, if you want to talk to the hearing world or the world at large, especially if you're using computers, Braille is about the only really effective way. Some people who are have some hearing, that is, I think the designation would be hearing impairment. They're hearing impaired, similar to low vision people are vision impaired, I guess would be the word. They're, you know, they sometimes don't want to be called blind, and hearing impaired people don't always want to be called deaf. So we have these fine distinctions. But the hearing impaired people who do have some hearing can use speech to communicate. But the difficulty there is that you're using hearing aids or cochlear implants or some electronic means to gather sound and make it in a situation where you can hear it. And the usual difficulty with that is that you are quite vulnerable to noise, and because the hearing impairments will cause strange quirks, I guess you call it, in your hearing, where you have difficulty with accents. Sometimes your low frequencies, you can't hear them, or your high frequencies, you can't hear them. And there's various ways to compensate for this, but the bottom line is that a hearing impaired person is really pretty compromised, I guess perhaps is the word, in hearing well. So getting back to Braille, the thing about Braille is that when I found this out when I was at Helen Keller in the early 80s, using Braille is very much similar. How Braille is used is very much similar to how it's used with blind people. In many cases, the deaf people who become deaf blind, few are actually born that way. The majority have one or more syndromes, like Usher syndromes, where you are born deaf and lose your vision to RP, either in late childhood or early adulthood. And you have the same problem about having to give up one world and take on the being willing to take on the aspects of the world that you're just sort of being forced into, whether you like it or not. It's similar to the low vision people who are losing their vision, and they get to the situation where you got to face up to it. You know, you're going to lose your vision. It's a similar situation with your hearing. You got to face up to it. You're going to be deaf someday. You know, and so until you kind of accept that, you can't use the tools that are available to you, at least not use them well. And so, and when this tool, the major tool here is Braille, And there, and then once you get into the frame of mind where you're ready to learn Braille, how much you can use it kind of depends on your education, educational level, because in many cases the deaf people who lose their vision later in life are ASL speakers, that's American Sign Language speakers. And ASL is a language which is not based on an English sentence structure. It's based more on a French sentence structure. So what tends to happen in the deaf community with people who are using ASL exclusively, they don't tend to read. They know how to communicate with each other and know how to communicate with their interpreters. But their interpreters have to translate the grammar, the ASL grammar, back into speech, back into English, and English grammar. So you have this interesting situation where the ASL speaker is really talking very much in a language grammatically that's quite different than English, and you have this interesting situation where interpreter doesn't translate what the ESL speaker is saying, a hearing person can really wonder about the intelligence of these deaf people because they're incoherent sometimes. And it's all because of the grammatical structure. But the bottom line here is that they don't tend to read much because, of course, the material here is in an English structure. So their use of Braille would probably be limited to writing labels and stuff like that, but even so, it's still Braille. But there are the more educated deaf people. They were raised with an emphasis on going to school, really effectively communicating with the hearing world, and they tend to use a type of sign language used. It's called signed exact English, which is based on an English structure, and they read more. So here their usage of Braille would be quite a bit better, more thorough. Now, when I was at HKNC, this was again in the early 80s, there was Braille all over the place. I went there because the hearing in my left ear was gone, and I decided that I wanted to learn what is termed tactile sign, that is ASL, or signed exact English, that you can feel from the signer's hands. That also includes finger spelling. And so I went to Helen Keller for what was termed an evaluation. I just went to rehab and asked for it, and they gave it to me promptly. So it was very easy. So I was there for about 10 days. And there was Braille all over the place, Braille magazines all lying around. There was a library, I did a cooking class and read my menu recipe from Braille, which everyone else does too. So, you know, I'm just saying that everybody is using Braille. They were Braillers and slates and styli. And of course, this is the mid 80s, so the Versa Braille was the rage. And there was a competing instrument called the Micro Braille. There were both tape-based Braille machines. And they were being used for face-to-face communication. That is, a deaf-blind person types on a Braille keyboard, and the characters are viewed by a sighted person on an LCD display, and the sighted person types on the Acuity keyboard, and the blind person sees it on a Braille display. And they were using Universal Braille for that. That the newest development of that is what is being sold by HumanWare. It's called the Deaf Blind Communicator, DBC. Its new wrinkle, though, is that it uses a cell phone keyboard and display connected to the to a Braille note and power through Bluetooth. And the big deal is that as far as the public is concerned, it can be a bus driver, say, can pick up the device and talk to the deafblind person or the clerk, whatnot. It's quite portable. It's a marked improvement from the bad old days when everything was really pretty clunky. And another thing that was once talked about quite a bit on the saucy list, sight-assisted, gosh, Roger knows that. And I forgot the acronym. At any rate, that's a lot of deaf-blind people are on that list, and
sight and sound impaired.
I'm sorry?
Sight and sound impaired.
Yeah, there you go. Sight and sound impaired. There was a discussion about the fact that it would be really nice if NLS could somehow see his way to integrating Braille output into its DAISY books, which is really actually very easy to do. The DAISY standard allows it. And the advantage is that we could essentially do away with web Braille. And the thing about web Braille is it's a great service, but it adheres to the number of Braille books that are being produced for NLS. And if you look at the number of books that are produced, the total, there are far more audio books produced than Braille books. So it would be really nice that every time we have an audio book produced, its text component is included in Braille. Now, NLS said that no, this won't be done in the foreseeable future. It's far too labor intensive, and so we'll have to be happy with web Braille. But as I said, there are far more audio books produced than Braille books. So there was further discussion about how we're going to come up with the Braille displays. If NLS decided to do this, how will we come up with the Braille displays, and how are we going to interface them with the player? Well, interfacing them with the player is actually quite. Interfacing them with the player can be done with Bluetooth. That's our wireless. Interfacing wireless protocol that's used all the time, and there are Braille displays out there that use Bluetooth, and it would be transparent to the audio user. The audio user just wouldn't know it's there unless it wants a Braille user wants to use it, and the Braille displays themselves would be. Well, there's a lot there. You know, most people who use web Braille I think probably everyone who uses Web Braille uses some sort of refreshable display. So if you use Web Braille, you already have the display. So then there's the idea. Okay. So I will cut off here, and maybe there's some questions, but somebody will have to ask. Tell me what the question is, because I can't hear.
Do you use Bookshare, Mike?
I use Bookshare in my Braille sense. And I don't use it very... extensively because there's so much else to do. But I use Bookshare to read programming books, and I've downloaded some other books. So, yes, I use Bookshare.
Because Bookshare is more modern than Braille, than NLS.
It's more modern, yeah. But there are situations where either Bookshare doesn't have what Web Braille might have, or the book what you find on Bookshare has too many errors.
I think the difference is really, you know, in NLS, I think that the problem is more bureaucratic than it is technical, because Web Braille was based on the Braille, you know, the embossed Braille collection. And they didn't, you know, they had already decided they were only going to print so many books in Braille every year, and then they decided they were going to make those available on Web Braille. But that's backwards, you know, because you could make Web Braille from electronic print books, and that's what you do with Bookshare. You don't ever produce a paper Braille book. You just make it available in text, and all kinds of machines know how to turn text into contracted Braille. By the way, I also wanted to say, while I've got the mic, Mike, is that I hear that National Braille Press is sponsoring a research project to see whether a better, more modern, more cheaper Braille display can be invented.
Nice.
I understand Dean Blasey and some of the other old folks that have been involved in it for years are involved in this project. So I'm hoping that at the ACB convention we can learn more about that. Noel Runyon, our friend at home, is involved in it. That's how I found out.
Yeah. If we could get a real cheap cell, we could seriously entertain the idea of some kind of foundation where anybody who needs a Braille display can get one free.
You get them through the telephone company like you do. You know what you do.
But Braille cells are so expensive now, I don't think it could possibly work.
Yeah, I used to work at Telesensory, you know, when they made Braille cells there. And it's a very labor-intensive hand assembly job. We had Vietnamese women in a clean room with hairnets on and all that kind of business. And each Braille cell in a Braille display has a little circuit board underneath it with little reeds that bend when voltage is applied to them to push the dots up, you know. And it, so they're like $100 a cell, you know, at the wholesale level.
They have
level.
To be quite robust.
Okay. We have time for about two more questions. Maybe
three if they're short. Go ahead.
Repeat, tell me your question. How much is a Braille display at this time?
She wants to know how much a Braille display is
at this
time.
How much is a Braille display at this time?
Well, braille displays come in different lengths. You have 12-cell, 20-cell, 16-cell, 20-cell, 32 and 40 and whatnot. So I would think that a 32-cell braille display would probably be $2,500. I think that's a realistic. Wouldn't you say that's a realistic figure, Roger?
Oh, that's realistic.
But you notice the braille note is a lot more expensive than the voice note.
Yes. Is there I'm sorry. Any other questions from Mike?
Well, you know, I remember a few years ago at this convention, Lucy Greco was telling me that she was printing she was embossing the braille resolutions on a Portateal braille embosser that she got for $30 on eBay. So, you know, there is equipment out there that's being sold by people who don't know what it is and who are selling it cheap.
Any more questions? We have one more question. Okay.
What is the technology you're using? Yeah, I love a computer. Are you using just a braille pen?
Mike, what technology are you using now? Are you using just a braille pen?
Oh, gosh. I'm using the Braille Sense very much. I use it. That's the machine I use to assemble the Blind Californian on. But I also use a desktop computer and JAWS with a Braille display. And that reminds me, I'll try to be really brief here, suggesting that Roger told me there is a notion that with the speech screen readers to have braille displays, there's a notion that you can't do as much with braille as you can with speech. And that is not true. That needs to be turned around, because often you can do more with braille than you can do with speech.
Absolutely. Any other questions for Mike? Mike, I'd like to ask everybody to give him a big round of applause.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
You were terrific, and we thank you for, it's nice to have some of our own members to speak to us about things that they know a lot about. We'd like to thank you very much for be willing to do this. Okay, thank you all for coming.